You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
Welcome to the True Word of God. I am Apostle Vernon Whitaker with Pastor Betty Whitaker of First Church Fivefold Fellowship Ministries in Port St. Lucie, Florida. We want to welcome you to our show. Good morning, good morning, good morning. This is Chief Apostle Vernon Whitaker from First Church Fivefold Fellowship, and we are located in Port St. Lucie, Florida. The address is 2865 Brighton Street in Port St. Lucie, Florida, 34953. The phone number is 561-718-2361. And if you don't have a good home church or you're looking for a good home church, come visit us tomorrow morning. Our Sunday school starts at 11. Our morning service starts at 11:45. Oh, yes, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. I am so glad that the Lord allowed us to get up this morning, that we are able to see and to speak to each other. This truly is a day that the Lord has made, and that is our motto at First Church Fivefold Fellowship Ministry. Here we go. You ready, church? This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. And I know right now that my enemy is so mad and so upset. No matter what he does, no matter what he says, no matter what he brings, guess what? He cannot and he shall not steal my joy. This truly is the day that the Lord has made, a day I have never seen before. And I want to thank God for that, for this particular day. And as I begin to thank my wife, Apostle Betty Whitaker, and all the members at First Church Fivefold Fellowship for a wonderful day this is. And tomorrow will be even a better today. Oh, my, as we begin to praise and lift up the name of Jesus, oh, my God, somebody will be saved, somebody will be delivered, and somebody will be healed. I know that's what the Word of God, I believe on it, and I stand on it. No matter what nobody says, no matter what nobody do, I truly believe every time we come on the airways and every time we come to church, even when I'm ministering in the road, in the highways, or in the home, I know that somebody will be saved. And if you want a prayer request, you can send us an email at firstchurch12@gmail.com. Once again, the address is 2865 Brighton Street. Come out tomorrow morning. Come fellowship with us. Come have a good time in the Lord. And if you're going through some problem, if you got some sickness, come and let us get you healed. Let us get you delivered. I don't care what you're going through. I know that somebody out there needs some prayer. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. I know that the Word of God will not go out and come back void. I know when the Word of God go out, I know some things have to be changed. I know some situation will be changed. But you got to hear and understand and believe in the Word of God. And my question is today, what does it mean to be redeemed? What does it mean to be redeemed? And I know that you have a desire to rid yourself of guilt when you know that you have done something wrong. There's nothing like a clear conscious. Oh, yes, it is. And it's always an important moment when, as an individual, that you admit to God your sins that you have committed. There's something about when you release that burden. And something about when you begin to tell God all about your troubles, what you have done. Seem like weight come off. It seems like whatever is holding you down be lifted up. And we know that King David, what he said in Psalms 32, verses 3 through 5, he said, when I kept silent, my bones grow old through my groans all day long. For day and night, your hand was heavy upon me. I acknowledged my sin to you. I said, I will confess my transgression to the Lord, and you will forgive the iniquity of my sin. My God, I can understand how David felt. I know how I felt. Before I committed myself, how it was a heavy burden. I know that somebody is being heavy burden. I know somebody is heavy laden right now. But if you get up and if you confess your sins unto God, If you confess your sins unto God, I know right now that God has been troubling somebody. I know right now God has been speaking to somebody. You need to repent. You need to repent. I want to help somebody to repent today, somebody to give, somebody to be able to lift that burden off your shoulder. So then as we go and we commit and say our confession to God, what we should know that what happened to that heartfelt confession to God is very important when you commit to God, when you say, Lord, forgive me of my sin. But in Psalm 51 and 10 of the repentance, as David had committed two capital sins, and David said to God, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Oh, my God, create in me. In other words, God, take this old heart, take this old man out, only that you can do it, Lord, and put the right spirit that's in me. Lord, I need a right spirit. I need some right attitude. I need some right thinking. I need some right words, Lord, but only you, Lord, can do this. This is what David said in Psalm 51 and 10. Lord, create in me. Somebody need a clean heart right now. Somebody need the right spirit in them. Oh, I know somebody now may be going through some trials and tribulations. You may be heavy. You may be real heavy with guilt. You may be real heavy. You may be real heavy with sadness. But until you commit unto God that you have done wrong, until you commit unto God, then ask God to give you a clean heart, to give you a right spirit that's on the inside. And another understanding of repentance means that we have a firm resolution to turn away from sin that must accomplish a mission of guilt. And when that really happens, then you can absolutely count on forgiveness from God. And why is this so? Why does God bind himself to completely and totally forgive all our transgression against his great spiritual law, no matter how seriously the situation is? We must understand that you must firmly turn away. You must firmly turn away. When you repent, when you say that you are sorry, when you ask God to forgive you, and Lord, I won't do it again, that means that you got to firmly turn. You got to be strong in your turn. You can't go back. You can't be pulled back. You can't turn around and go back into the same situation. And that's what repentance really means. Somebody need to repent right now. Somebody need to be wholly sorry for what you have done. And when you're wholly sorry and you need to confess unto God that you will not go back into that situation again, that you will not be able to turn around and go back. This is what it means when God says, I know your heart. And I hear folks say that all the time. Well, God knows my heart. Yeah, he really knows your heart. He really knows what you're really thinking. So yet sometimes when we come to the altar, and sometimes as we begin to repent, are we wholly sorry? Are we really sorry? Are we really going to turn around from our sins? Are we going back into that same situation again? Are you really, really, really just going to stay out of that situation? You're really not going to be able to do what God calls you to do. But when you are wholly sorry in your heart, and I'm quite sure and I know that you'll be able to turn around. Yes, and all Christians should know the answer to this question and the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ himself said in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believe in him should not perish and have everlasting life. And that scripture was the one that turned me around when I began to read and understand. If I believe in the Lord, come on somebody, and I believe that God has gave his only son, that he loved the world so much, and if I disbelieve in him, that I will not perish, that I will have eternal life. This is the promise that God has will stand upon. And as I began to look at what Satan was trying to teach me and trying to promise me, it was nothing like what God was promised me. And I know that when Satan promised me, all I was going to get was condemned, thrown in a lake of fire, gnashing the teeth, tormented for the rest of my life. My God, my God, my God. But yet and still, I shall not perish if I believe in the Lord. I shall not be separated from God if I believe in the Lord. Come on, somebody. We got to be able to have eternal life. This is what we need to do. And we need to understand Christ's sacrifice. In order to help you better understand the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, the Bible used concepts that we really can understand fairly well. And for instance, the scripture goes as to the law of court for understanding the legal term of justification, why we are justified, why we are set apart because of Jesus Christ. But it takes us to the marketplace that we must go to understand the Christ's sacrifice in the term of the conception of redemption. And regarding to Christ and his shedding of the blood, and redemption, essence means deliverance from death by the means of a payment or a very high price. To redeem means to buy back, either whether to purchase or a ransom price. And we know that in the Old Testament, as we saw the children of Israel, when they was up under the Pharaoh rule, and when God finally allowed the Pharaoh to release the children, and it was leasing to the whole mankind, and this shows that deliverance from Egypt was a national scope. But we know that God deliverance is also a very personal thing. And we need to know that we are bought and that we are paid for. And Jesus Christ, let me tell you what Jesus done, just in case you don't understand. Jesus redeemed you, yes he did, from the effects of your sin by buying you back, by paying a steep ransom price. And all of us, we need to understand that every one of us was kidnapped spiritually by Satan, the devil, but the blood of Jesus more than covered the ransom price that was needed to be paid. And when he did, he paid it in full. And that's why I say that on the day, on that glorious day when Jesus was nailed to the cross, you need to understand when the soldier took the spear and punched Jesus in the side, and the Bible said that the blood and the water began to run down. You need to understand that that blood and water, it ran down that old rugged cross. Yes, it did. And it seeped on the ground and it went through the molecules of the dirt and it landed on the mercy seat. And it said, paid in full, satisfied. Now the Father, God was satisfied because of the sacrifice that Jesus Christ had made for mankind. Whether you like it, whether you want to receive it or not, but Jesus Christ had paid for your sin. I'm trying to help somebody understand that you don't have to be in that sin. You do have a way out of what you are in. All you have to do is repent and be wholly sorry, and God will forgive you of your sin. And let me clarify, can no man upon this earth forgive you of your sin? Can no man sit behind no desk and say whether or not your sins are forgiven? Because he did not shed his blood. He did not pay the price. It was Jesus and Jesus only that was nailed to the cross. And he took the sins of the whole world. He didn't ask you, but he did it because he loved us the way that the Father loved us. And he was willing to be an ultimate sacrifice so that we may have eternal life, so that we are redeemed, so we are bought, so you are paid by a high price that you could not pay yourself, that I could not pay yourself. Your mother, your father, your sister, and brother could not pay the price that Jesus Christ did. So why not? Why should we? We should. And we should be able to ask God to forgive us for what we have done. And when we do that, we have to be wholly sorry so that the blood can be amplified, so that the blood can be begin to work upon us and keep us from sin. I want you to know that you was kidnapped by Satan. But Jesus Christ, my God, he paid the price so that we are redeemed. You and nobody else could not pay the price of Jesus Christ. And you got to know that Jesus Christ, and when he redeemed you, the effects of your sin by buying you and paying for you, and here's what we got to understand. Apostle Paul stated very well in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 20, "But you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God." So we need to know that we are bought with a price, and we need to glorify God in our body. And not only do we need to glorify God in our body, but we need to glorify God also in our spirit. And Apostle Peter, and he says, and he tells us just how the high price this price was. And he wrote in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 through 19, "You was not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold, for your aimless conduct received by tradition from your father, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without a blemish and without a spot." And that's what God required, that he was looking for an ultimate sacrifice, somebody who was sinless, somebody who didn't know sin, and somebody that who couldn't sin. And we as a human race, the Bible says that we are born in sin and shaped in iniquity because of our sin nature, because of our flesh. None of us, neither one of us was qualified. I don't care what kind of education you have. I don't care what kind of degree you have. I don't care what kind of doctor you put behind your name. But you was not qualified. You was not suitable in order to pay the price that God was looking for. But only his son, Jesus Christ, only his son was a lamb without blot or spot. Somebody who was blameless. Somebody who did not sin. And this was the ultimate sacrifice that God was looking for, that would be able to pay for the ransom. Pay so that we are able to do what God said. And Jesus was absolutely and totally sinless. He died for your sins. He took them all on himself. And Hebrews 9 and 28 says, "So Christ was offered once to bear sins of many. And unto them that look for him should he appear the second time without sin unto salvation." Christ was nailed to the cross one time. He will not be nailed to the cross again. Christ took our sin one time. He ain't coming back to take no sins no more. He did it once and once and once and once and for all. And when he appear again, guess what he's going to do? The second time, he will appear without sin unto our salvation. Come on, somebody. I guess somebody needs to understand this. Christ had paid the price one time. He's not coming back and keep paying for the price over and over and over and over. It has been done. It's already done. So what we need to do, we need to be able to walk into the victory that Jesus Christ has given us. He had paid for our sin. Oh, we need to go and get the down upon our knees and get our own altar. You can make your altar in your own house. And you need to ask God to forgive you. Matter of fact, you can do that right now. You can do it while you're riding in your car. You can do it while you're in the doctor's office. You can do it while you're in the grocery store. You can do it while you're at home. Wherever you are right now, you can ask God to forgive you and you be wholly sorry for what you have done. And God, yes, he will. He will forgive you of your sin because of his son, Jesus Christ, who shed his precious blood, who died just for you, who took the sin, your sin, my sin, and everybody's sin, and he bared them in his body. Come on, somebody. I'm trying to help somebody so that, that when Jesus come back, that you be right with the Lord, that you be wholly sorry, and let God clean your heart, and let God put a right spirit in you. Oh, God, somebody need the right spirit right now, because somebody walk around with the wrong spirit, with the wrong attitude, got the wrong thinking about who Jesus Christ is. I know somebody may be saying right now, "Well, I got to go to church." Well, we need to assemble ourselves together and come together as Christians so that we can help one another. And I'm to let somebody know that Jesus Christ did die and he took your sin. So if you got a brother, a friend that would die for you, why don't we honor him? Honor him by our lives. Honor him by glorifying God. Honor him by what he have done. And let not Jesus be died in vain. I will not let the Lord death be in vain. I will not let his blood be shed for nothing. And he shed his blood. He never asked any one of us. He did not come to any one of us. But just because he loved you, I'm trying to tell somebody who may be looking for love. I'm trying to tell somebody who may not think that nobody love him. I'm here to tell you that Jesus Christ loved you. He loved you so much that he was willing just to die for you. He know your name. He know what you was going through. He know what you're going to be tempted with. But yet and still, he was willing to sacrifice. He was willing to just lay down his life because nobody take it. But he said that I lay it down. I lay it down. I lay it down because that's what he want to do just for you. Just for you. Just for that person who may be on drugs. Just for that person who may be out there a prostitute. Just for that person who may be a homosexual. Just for that person who may be a lesbian. Just for that murderer, that child molester. Just for you. Jesus laid down and Jesus died just for you so that you may have eternal life. And church, we need to be able to accept this eternal life and take this gift that God has given us. And only thing that we have to do, the only price that we have to pay, only thing that we got to do is go before the altar and get on our knees and begin to confess our sins and be wholly sorry so that you can receive your eternal gift. That's only requirement that God has given you. He's not asking you to lay down and die. All he's saying is come, come. Come, come, come as you are. And when you come, guess what? We want you to come brokenhearted. We want you to come upset. We want you to come mad. Whatever the case is, come and repent for what you have done. And God will give you and forgive you of your eternal sin. And yes, yes, and we know that our Savior said in Mark chapter 10, verse 45, for that even the Son of Man come not to minister unto but to minister and to give his life for the ransom of many. Jesus didn't come looking for no glory, but he come to do one thing. He come to glorify the Father, and he come to die so that you may have eternal life. That's the only thing Jesus come to do. He didn't come to take no glory. He didn't come to get pat on the back. He didn't come to be made no king. But what he said is, I come and I give my life just for you. And Apostle Paul even added in Galatians 1:14, in whom we have redeemed through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. Yes, yes, even through the blood of Jesus Christ, even through what Jesus have done, we are forgiven of our sin. And how do we attain eternal redemption? Hebrews 9:12 tell us that neither by blood of the goats or the calf, but his own blood, he entered into once into the holy place and having attained eternal redemption for us. This biblical passage induce you to the concept of eternal redemption. That means that the effects run on and on into the future and is surrounding us with everlasting life and God's family and kingdom. Even though your past sins are forgiven by the means of the blood of Christ, an important part of your redemption lies in the future. The testimony of John in Revelation 5:9-10 enter the picture in the final book in the Bible. He quotes the 24 elders, and they said, as singing a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and open the seal thereof. Thou was slain. Thou redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred, tongue, peoples, and nation, and have made us unto God kings and priests, and we shall reign on this earth by the blood of Jesus Christ. And Jesus himself spoke to us in Luke chapter 21, verse 27-28 of the future things in his prophecy that he gave to his disciples on Mount Olive shortly before his death. And then shall they see the Son of Man come in a cloud with the power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, look up. Yes, he said, lift your head up, for your redemption has drawn near. And to sum up your salvation, redemption, cancel out your sin through the blood of Jesus Christ. And it's also looking forward to the day when your physical body will be transformed from flesh into the spirit. And 1 Corinthians 15 and 50 through 54, redemption is eternal in its effect. And the ultimate means is everlasting life in the kingdom of God. But never forget what King David said in Psalms 32 and 31. And blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, for whose sin is covered. I'm here to tell somebody, your sins are covered. No matter how you feel, no matter what you think, no matter what nobody say, your sins are covered. You are forgiven from your sins when you repent, when you go down upon your knees and you ask God to forgive you and you are wholly sorry. There is a way that God has made for us to retain eternal life, but we have to take advantage of what God has given us. We have to come and receive the gift that God has given us. We got to be able to do what God has called us. And the requirement is a very simple requirement. Say, Lord, forgive me for what I have done. Lord, and then I'm wholly sorry. Whatever sin that I am, I will not return to that sin. I will not, because your son, Jesus Christ, had paid the ultimate price and given unto me for what I need. And that is eternal life. That is a great thing that we are missing today. It's a great thing that we are losing out because we don't want to go down and ask God to forgiveness of our sin because of our flesh. Yes, we are in a spiritual warfare because of our flesh. We're fighting daily. And Paul said that our spirit, our flesh must die daily. I must die daily in order to live a right and holy life. I must give up what the world said. There's nothing wrong with giving up because there is a better life when you receive eternal life. Yes, it's the Chief Apostle Brandon Whitaker, and we are located at 2865 Brighton Street in Port St. Lucie, Florida. Our Sunday school starts at 11 a.m. Our morning service starts at 11:45. If you need a ride to church, give me a call at 561-718-2361. We'd be more than happy to come pick you up so that we can glorify the Lord. I know that somebody will be healed. I know somebody will be delivered tomorrow if you just repent. Yes, here we go. We're getting ready to lead the program now. And this is our motto. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Have a wonderful, blessed day. And don't forget, repent, repent, and repent. And then you will have eternal life in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you for listening to the true word of God with Apostle Vernon and Betty Whitaker. I want to invite you to worship with us this Sunday at 11:30 a.m. We are located at 2855 Brighton Street in Port St. Lucie, Florida, 34953. If you would like more information about our ministry or this program, you can call us at 561-718-2361. Join us next week at the same time for the true word of God.